you. Updated in real time and available on demand at birthnet.com/APR. And optimized for tablet and mobile, the APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit birthnet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why a new generation is using APR Online.
Tell me, how many stallions now at stud have sired two winners of the Kentucky Oaks? Well, I can name one, Proud Citizen. He's a sire Proud Spell, winner not only the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks, but of the Grade 1 Alabama, the Grade 2 Delaware Oaks, the Grade 2 Matron, the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks, and over $2,131,000 and an Eclipse Award. Then along came Believe You Can to win the Kentucky Oaks, the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks, the Grade 3 Tempted, plus three more stakes and over $1,280,000. There's also been a lot more going on for Proud Citizen besides signing two Kentucky Oaks winners. We have him with 34 stakes winners, in fact. Some 14% of his starters have won a place in stakes, and a superb 85% of his foals do start. He sires sound horses. Proud Citizen won the Grade 2 Coolmore Lexington Stakes at Keeneland, ran second in the Kentucky Derby, third in the Preakness. He's by the noted sire, Sires Gone West, from the family of the great producer Natalma, and he stands for $10,000. Live foal at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com. Keep in mind that the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursula Ellis.
Well, good morning, everyone, and it's a bright, sunny morning here at the Thoroughbred Center, and lots of works this morning.
Closing in on 50.
Closing in on 50?
Yep. Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for. I got a runny nose. I'm sure you wanted to know all about that.
Yeah, that we don't want a description of anything, truthfully.
All right. Kind of here by ourselves today, you know, as far as guests goes. Michael Blowen is in Florida picking up his Eclipse Award for old friends.
And not only that, he got another award from a group of people, a sort of a clubby kind of a thing that encourages people to go to the racetracks and stuff. That was on Facebook.
Yeah,
so he got something last night.
Very good.
Tonight, of course, is the Oscars of horse racing.
There you go. Well, not only is he getting an Eclipse Award, and not only is he in Florida, darn if he didn't take our veterinarian down with him, too.
I know. There goes the vet segment.
There goes the vet segment. Dr. Brian Waldridge, of course, who has kind of stepped in where for Doug Byers when Doug Byers, you know, passed away. And of course, there's no replacing Doug, but Doc goes. He is the volunteer vet now. Dr. Waldridge is at Old Friends. So he was,
Michael knows how to treat him. He already named a barn after him.
Yeah, right. He never named anything after us, did he?
No. Probably the exit sign.
Yeah. Or manure pit.
Ursel's exit. Yeah. Jackie's manure pit. That's good.
There you go. Steve Moody is, of course, the author of the Gulfstream Handicapper Sheet, which is published by Briss. And they're running a bunch of stakes for Florida breds down there. Sunshine Millions, their series down there. We'll have him do the 10th race for the Sunshine, which is the Sunshine Millions Classic. Running a bunch of stakes down at the fairgrounds today, five of them. One of them is a Colonel E.R. Bradley handicap. And we may go to, if you don't know about Colonel Bradley, you should. He passed away back in 1946, so we've got his obit that was written in American Racehorses 1946. We've got Jackie's announcements. We'll read a little Joe Palmer if we have time for that. We've got a guest coming in, Amy Parker. Amy is a nutritionist for McCauley Brothers down in Versailles, Kentucky, and nice young lady, and we're going to have her in at about, she's coming in at 11 o'clock, so we'll have her at the top of the hour. Winners from the Thoroughbred Center. Of course, they canceled a bunch of races on us down at Turfway. But
they did?
Well, during the week.
You know, during the month. Last night they were running.
Yeah, they did, and we had a winner down there too. Oh, we've had some different winners. Well, Tracy Young saddled a winner, Floyd Cobb, John O'Meara, Tanya Bullmatis, Pavel Matejka, Scooter Hughes, Let's see who else. Bobby Sturgeon had one last night, and Tommy Short took a bunch of horses to Sam Houston, and he had one yesterday.
Oh, good.
A horse named Deliverer.
Is Sam Houston. That's where they're having a big bunch of racing today. Is that right? The big steak day, it seems like.
It's Sam Houston? You know, geez, I haven't even looked at it.
I think, well, I better not say, but I think that's...
Also, you better not say because you don't know.
Because I don't know,
I'm guessing.
What you
tried to say yet. Also, Matt Frazier, who trains a bunch of quarter horses here, took some of them down to Hialeah, which, of course, they're having a meeting down there, and he's won a couple of races. As a matter of fact, he won the $25,000 signature stakes with a horse, quarter horse named the Ocean King. And then he won a race yesterday, also at Hialeah, of course, riding an Easy Street, which belongs to his dad, Dan Frazier, who's one of our neighbors.
Yes.
Down at in Bourbon County, and a really nice guy. And he's got he sold a bunch of his farm to the Silver Springs people, who the Irish had it now. But of course, it's now has changed hands. And anyway, that's what's going on down there. I want to mention something about Ronnie Warren. Ronnie passed away.
Did he really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
You didn't you?
Yeah. No.
I always liked Ronnie. He was quite controversial. When he was training, but you know, gee whiz, he saddled.
He was. I loved his hat.
He always wore that black cowboy hat.
Black cowboy hat. You could see him a mile away.
Yeah, and he bow-legged and limped.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, he was. He looked like a character.
Yeah, he was a character. Yeah, he was controversial, too, when he was training. He died down in Little Rock. He was 79 years old. He won 1,112 races. He retired in 2007. He registered 11 graded stakes wins, and during his career, he was won training titles at Churchill Downs, Fairgrounds, Oak Lawn Park, and Keeneland. Keeneland, he set a fall meet record of 16 wins in 1968, and that stood until it was broken in 1989 by Dwayne Lucas, who had 22.
Did Sam Houston on your phone?
I bought a mare that Ronnie trained, a mare named Marty's Darling. And Jackie, she was the dam of Charles.
Yeah, I remember her. She's not the one that got hit when some idiot drove off the road.
No. That was one of Don Bruce's mares.
Right.
Yeah, that was down in Versailles. No.
What are you getting for?
I got her real cheap because I remembered her because she could fly. I mean, she was a stakes winner for Ronnie. And I really liked her, but she'd been barren 4 years in a row, and I picked her up for a ham sandwich.
Yeah, thank you.
Danford didn't get her in foal right away, and that first foal was by Hard Work, and we named him Toil, and that was the first winner that we saddled, Jackie.
Yeah.
Won at Turfway. Yeah. He had a heart
scared
about the size of a pea.
Scared to death. Worst horse ever to get gelded.
Well, yeah, he was.
Because he just had no heart.
No.
And the only reason he won that night was he was so scared, he just ran away from all the rest. The horses are chasing me. Oh. You know, if he'd been in the back, if he'd broke bad, he might never have gone around.
We got him a good home for some gallop in Michigan, wasn't it? Came down here looking
for... He was gorgeous. Oh, he was one of the prettiest...
He's almost black.
Almost black horses you've ever seen. Yeah, a little white star and great big eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty face, almost feminine.
Yeah, he was. What are you laughing at, huh?
Nothing.
Holly's in here clocking.
Normally
she would be the EMS.
Normally she'd behave herself, but she's...
Well, yeah. All righty. Let me take a break here, and we'll come back and see if we can get in touch with Michael down there. Did you tell him we're going to call him about a quarter after or something like that? All right. Well, anyway, you know, Ronnie trained a little bit for Ken Ramsey one time.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Who hasn't?
You know, he was, you know, that when we took old Coach Curley down at to River Downs and ran him down there, and we beat Ramsey by a neck.
Yeah.
He had something, and Ken was there that day. It's been a long time ago, you know, before he really got rolling, you know, but Ken quite a better gambler, and I guess he was down there betting on that thing.
It was last race or something, too.
Well,
ooh, it's late.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, wasn't it?
No.
Okay. It was, all right.
No, it was a maiden race. It was, and he brought this thing down from Chicago. And he was in the stands, you know, and he was very gracious. He says, well, congratulations, Ursel. I know it was killing him because he wouldn't have been there if he wasn't betting, you know. But Ronnie Warren trained that thing at that time.
Oh.
That's the reason I thought about that. Anyway, be that as it may. Well, Lee, making his first start since winning the Grade 1 Don Handicap last February, won the one-mile Grade 3 Hal's Hope Stakes at Gulfstream last Saturday. That's a race he won a year ago, as a matter of fact. Bred and owned by Claiborne Farm and Adele Dillsnyder, Lee has also won the Grade 3 Commonwealth Handicap at Churchill Downs. He has won graded stakes on dirt and turf, 7 of his 13 starts, and over $802,000. He was one of 10 2014 stakes winners by First Samurai. Sire 4 Grade 1 winners, 2 millionaires, and 22 stakes winners in his first 4 crops. And yesterday at Oak Lawn Park, the $100,000 fifth season stakes was won by Carr, a 5-year-old son of First Samurai, also bred by Claiborne Farm and Adele Dillsnyder. He's won 3 stakes, 1 graded, placed in 5 more, including the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby, and he's earned over $772,000. First Samurai himself won the Grade 1 Champagne, the Grade 1 Hopeful Stakes, and placed in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile. His First Samurai is the most precocious son of 3-times champion sire Giants Causeway. He stands for $15,000, doing a full stands of nurse. He stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams at 859-233-4252. And see the website at claibornefarm.com.
And we moved to Bourbon County, what, about 30 years ago? Somewhere in that area? 28 years ago?
No, it wasn't. Yeah. 1987, I believe it was.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway.
How many years ago was that? Too damn long. 28.
26, she said. She's younger than you are. She's probably right. Anyway, when we moved to Bourbon County, friends recommended the Hopewell Company, and they've taken care of our insurance needs ever since. It's comforting.
I'm counting that up in my head. I think she's wrong. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, that good old Russell K. Math.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to start over. It's a comforting feeling to do business with people you trust, especially when it comes to insurance. Hopewell Company has been taking care of our needs for 27, 28 years. They have extensive experience working with horse farms and racing stables. Joe and Ted McLean are who you're dealing with, and Ted used to train. They also cover home, barn, vehicles, horse trailer, plus liability, and they've been right there whenever we needed them, as in about 2 years ago when we got struck by lightning and it singed every wire in our house. They were there that afternoon, and they wired it so we could have a refrigerator and a furnace and maybe hot water even. And they were there next day working on it. So they do a super job. They work for us, not the insurance companies. So they are able to offer the best coverage and most competitive prices from financially sound, reputable insurers. Contact Hopewell Company. They'll give you no obligation review of your insurance. Hopewell Company, 820 South Main in Paris, 987-2347, or a Lexington number if you prefer, 254-2431. You'll get great service. Ursel guarantees it.
Darn right I do. And here are two more names to remember in the horse business. That's the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency was founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward. It's been providing the finest in equine insurance for over 80 years. That success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business, qualities that are still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. So give Shaq Parrish or Bruce Isaacs or John Hess a call, 859-987-1861, 987-1861. Just remember the beginning of the Civil War. Or stop by the office at 1102 South. Well, not South. Yeah, it would be. But, okay, just Main Street. 1102 Main Street in Paris, Kentucky. And The award, the number over there, I gave it to you, 987-1861. Okay, now Indian Creek, ask about the service available, many services available in Indian Creek. When Indian Creek has raised a whole bunch of stakes winners there, both here and abroad. And first, you know, that top class horses, I think they've raised something like 6 champions there. And they've raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. And they represent you at the sales. It's a great place to board your horses. And I'm going to give you a number there where you can call either Shaq Parrish or Nicky Dryan. It's 987-7443. And that's Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency. And that's two numbers that you should know about if you're in the horse business.
One on left or online.
All right. I'm waiting for that music to come down. Mary Jane must be jiving down there today. Well, Michael Blowen's in South Florida, and he's laying out on the beach in his bikini.
Oh, God help us.
Please.
Laying out getting some sun, got some salt in his navel, and eating celery. And how you doing, Michael?
The celery stuck in a Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, this is a racetrack. Fabulous. Yesterday, we were at the race event. We got to sit with the Daily Racing Form people, and there's a wonderful Chinese restaurant there that'll bring you wonton soup to your seat. So it's
at the track?
Yes.
Oh, I'll be darned.
Oh, the track's fabulous.
Yeah, well, yeah. Gulfstream, yeah, of course, yeah. I thought maybe you were over to Hialeah watching quarter horses.
no, I was, they do 800,000 plus a race in handle.
Is that right? Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. You're going over today, a bunch of Florida breeds.
Yes, I'm all excited. Well, it's more than that. They've opened up the Sunshine Millions to other breeds. As Ken Ramsey reminded me yesterday, he said, I've got one, a Maryland bred that I entered in, he said, so.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Yeah. Say hello to Ken when you see him.
He's a funny guy. They did the Thoroughfran, this racing fan organization, honored us yesterday. But the interesting thing was, who else was there? They honored Steve and Carolyn Coburn, the California Chrome people. And I have to say that Carolyn Coburn said that her favorite horse next to California Chrome is Little Silver Charm.
Oh, cute. That's good.
We gave her a picture of Little Silver Charm. And they'll be coming to the awards tonight and probably getting one or two.
You got your tux already?
Yes, sir.
I'd love to see you in a
what
tux.
What time's that thing start?
Dr. Waldridge and I are going and are taking Diane's award.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, how's Brian doing down there? Is he behaving himself?
Yeah, he's having a really good time. We ran into Chris McCarron last night, and you know, he's down here. I mean, it's really, really a nice, really, really nice atmosphere and a real tribute to racing. I mean, it's just phenomenal.
He's did he trim that beard of his?
Chris or Brian?
Brian. Well, don't tell me Chris has got a beard.
Well, now that he's semi-retired, he doesn't shave every day. Brian trimmed it. He trimmed it for the event.
Well, good for him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been a lot of fun. I have to say that it's been very relaxing and a lot of fun. But I can't wait to get home. I'm starting to get withdrawal symptoms.
Well, I can know it. It's a beautiful day up here today.
Good.
Yeah. It's 72.
It's going up to
72.
What?
Tell him the temperature here is 72.
Well, I'd be lying.
Won't be the first time.
It is going up to 50 today, though, which is pretty good.
Well, that's
for you.
Great. No, that's just excellent. That's everybody needs to breathe it. That's really something. Well, the only thing Florida has on Kentucky is the temperature.
Have you got any inkling who's going to get Horse of the Year yet?
No. Everybody was talking about it last night. I ran into a lot of people from the racing forum, Jay Priven and Mike Welsh and others, and Barbara Livingston and a lot of others. And everybody seems to have a different opinion.
Well, all the California people, of course, want California Chrome, which is, you know, I think he probably will get it, don't you? It's kind of a popularity contest, anyway.
Yeah, it could be, but, you know, they tend to surprise you. California Chrome did get the award from the Racing Fans for the most popular as the great horse racing moment of the year, which was his Kentucky Derby victory, so that's why the Coburns were at this breakfast yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
So that's any indication. And then Charlie Pink, my friend Charlie's here, and Carl Myers, and Todd Campbell's coming in because Palace Mouse been nominated for Best Older Horse.
Uh-huh.
So,
I haven't
bring me back a program.
Oh, yeah, good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, bring me back more than that. Bring me back a crate of oranges or something.
I mean, I'd like to bring you back a winning ticket, but unfortunately, those are really pretty rare for me these days.
I know the feeling. Well, I've got your Sunday form today. You want me to mail it to you?
Yeah, FedEx it to me, will you?
FedEx it, he says.
Find another one.
All right. Oh, my goodness. Well,
we're headed over today. Tom Durkin and Rosie Napravnik and I are doing a signing rehearsal in the paddock at Gulfstream.
Now, what are you signing?
Whatever they want, except checks.
Oh, except a check. Well, okay, I thought, you know, well, I can see what Rosie would be. Well, just autographs, is that, yeah, for her?
Yeah. And Tom Durkin, of course, has just taken a job with West Point Thoroughbreds, one of their ambassadors, so that's going to be an interesting thing.
That'd be good, yeah.
Yeah, it'll keep him here. He was thinking about going and giving tours in Italy, so I guess they made him a better offer.
Well, yeah, the way things are in Italy right now, I guess so. But well, all right, well, we'll be looking forward to watching you tonight.
Oh, thanks a lot, Ursel. I thank you and Jackie and everybody for everything because, you know, everybody pulling together. This is everybody gets a piece of this.
Well, thank you so much. And it's, you know, seriously, I'm real proud of you. And, you know, we're blessed to have you on the show. So,
well, Ursel, I can't wait to see you. We'll be back as soon as we possibly can. They're going to give us the award. We'll get in the car right after, right around midnight or so, and start flying back.
Yeah. Now, next week, we're on early.
9 to 11.
Okay.
9 till 11 next week, and we'll be doing the show over at the HBPA office. So. We'll talk to you before then, but anyway, I'll talk. And I know I'll have to remind you. You'll forget, so.
Yes, thank you.
All right. And Michael, thanks.
All right, I'll tell Brian you're asking for him.
All righty.
All right, so thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks for everything.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Grade 1 winner, Misdirection. Grade 1 and Group 1 winner, Flotilla. Grade 1 winner, Mass Track. Grade 1 winner, Ultimate Eagle. Grade 1 winner, Midships. 2014 Group 1 winner, Full Mass. 2014 Group 1 winner, Literacy. All sired by Miz and Mass. The winners of 3 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup races, of a winner of the Classic Group 1 French 1,000 guineas, the winner of over $1,719,000, of another that earned over $1,066,000, all sired by Miz and Mass. So I have 9 2014 stakes winners, 2 of them Group 1 stakes winners, one of them a 2-year-old. So I have graded stakes winners on dirt, grass, and synthetic. So I have graded stakes winners at distances from 6 furlongs to a mile and a quarter. So I have stakes winners in 6 different countries. One of only 5 active sires to have sired 2 winners of Breeders' Cup races in the same year, one of which sold for $2.7 million as a racing breeding prospect last year. Miz and Mass. Well, he's done pretty much about all you could ask for at stud. He offers an outcross to most North American line mares, and he stands for $25,000 live foal at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. And here's that number over there at Judmont. It's 859-272-7600. 29 and see the website at judmont.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for some 60 years. During that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack have been entrusted to their care. They learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious their vehicles and equipment have to be in tip-top shape, but the single most important factor, especially for safety, is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or the country. When you load your horse onto a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. Sally van, they wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why, for more than half a century, Sally vans have been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, Drosselmeyer was the highest rated horse in the world on dirt after he concluded his racing career with a win in the Grade 1 $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic. That day, he beat the likes of Game On Dude and Hobbit de Gras and Flat Out and Honor and Serve and Icebox and Uncle Mo and Stay Thirsty and other superior runners. He is also one of only two horses in history to win both the Breeders' Cup Classic and the Belmont Stakes. That's an honor he shares with A.P. Indy. He also holds the distinction of being the leading money winner among the 123 stakes winners by his champion sire, Distorted Humor. A grand individual, he was a $600,000 sales yearling. He's siring grand individuals. First Crop sales yearling sold for $300,000, $280,000, $225,000, $190,000, $185,000, $180,000 in 2014. Out of the multiple Grade 1 winner of over $732,000, Drosselmeyer has covered a minimum of 118 mares every year he's been at stud, and he stands for $15,000 due in a full stanza nurses at Windstar Farm. Get in touch with Darren Fox or Sean Tugle or Kyle Wilson. The number over at Windstar is 859-873-1717 and see the website at windstarfarm.com. Jackie, you want to do your announcements?
Sure. I got one from Ralph Quillen at Rooster Brew. Saturday, today, they are having people from Cincinnati again. I tell you, those old Germans know how to brew beer. More like, if there are any Germans left in Cincinnati, who knows? That's all it used to be. Moorline Brew Takeover from Cincinnati. And they're having food. Check out this clever name. They're having the Thai and Mighty.
Oh.
So they're going to have Thai. And that starts, they usually start about 5 o'clock. So that's today. And also, Rooster Brew is having a benefit for the local Paris Animal Shelter called PAWS, P-A-W-S, Paris Animal Welfare Shelter Society, I don't know. February 4th, spaghetti dinner in support of PAWS and National Spay and Neuter Month. Just somehow strikes me. Let's all have a beer to spay and neuter. $5 gets you dinner and dessert, and of course, he's got 100 bottles of beer on the wall. It's family friendly. Door opens at 5. 100% of the funds raised goes to PAWS. That's nice. Windstar Farm, open house through the 15th. Now that's over.
Yeah.
And they had a good time.
But yeah, I'm sure if you want to see their studs, they'll be happy
they'll
to show you around.
They'll be happy to show them to
873-1717. That's the number.
Absolutely. Let me get rid of these Stallion Open House things.
Yeah, I would.
Christopher and Glenny Oakford have written a book called The Iroquois Hunt, a Bluegrass Fox Hunting Tradition. We need to get her on here and talk about her book.
All right.
Need to give her a call. She's a great girl. Really like her. They got wonderful pictures in there. And it started in 1880 and then sort of punked out. And then it was refounded in 1926, which is interesting. And, of course, Jackie Davis from the Jockey School. And what's the other guy?
Adam Bowman.
Adam Bowman have been knocking them dead at parks, and Jackie hit them out the other day at the Big A. So
she won a race up there, I think.
Did she?
Yeah.
Good. That's excellent.
Jackie can ride.
Oh, yeah. She was, he was filming one day, Chris McCarron was filming their riding, and this horse did something and propped or something, and she flew over the horse's head and spun over and landed on her feet while he was taping. She said, "Did you catch that?" That's pretty good.
Cute girl, too.
Yeah. The big time horse shows at the horse park don't start till May. I mean, those are the big classic and spring and FEI and, you know, all that good stuff. Today is the 17th, and it's the Lexington Winter Tournament at today and tomorrow. Bluegrass Winter Tournament tomorrow. This is at Lakeshore. At Lakeside, isn't that awful? Lakeside Arena is, you can go get it on the internet, but it's where US 60, which is the Versailles to Frankfort Road, and the I-64 meet, and then you just follow a sign. It's not a couple miles off the road there, so it's great. They said January 24th and 25th is open if you want to schedule a show. And January 31st, February 1st, is the UK Intercollegiate Show. So that'd be fun to watch. And then they got, here you go, Matt, quarter horse for the next 2 weeks. And the first Hunter Jumper show is February 21st, 22nd.
What are they going to do with quarter horse shows?
What's 6 cents of points mean? 6 sets of points. What's that mean? Matt?
Yeah, Matt's show horse and stuff like that. I don't do that. I race and do rodeo.
Yeah. So
I win money and buckles and saddles.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
The knots on your head. That explains what's wrong
with
him.
Explains,
too many falls.
Explains a lot, those knots on his head. Okay. I take it that the season auction was fine. January 23rd, 24th. 23rd is the 4th annual UK Equine Showcase with 15 top UK equine researchers. And January 24th is the 6th annual Kentucky Breeders Short Course. This is going to be at the Double Tree by Hilton. That's a nice hotel. Because it's next week. Go to equine@uky.edu. I said the sale average was down. Median was up. No, median was down. The average was up. I don't know.
They're both down,
as they say now. Well,
that's a tough sale to draw to. You know, it just depends if there's a little dispersal or a big dispersal. You know,
one mayor bought $2.2 million in her yearling. Bought 800,000. Horse Park. The Horse Park is open. This is winter hours, Wednesday through Sunday, 9 to 5. Close, obviously, Monday and Tuesday. Now, the Kentucky Winter Mix sale phase at Tipton is February 9th. I don't know if you can still get in that or not. I bet that, no, he's shaking his head. No, that's closed.
I wasn't for catalogs out yet.
I have no idea.
You got anything in there?
No.
Nothing?
No,
nothing.
I got to go to Oklahoma this week. I'm done with sales.
Okay. Now, as you know, Masterson Equestrian Park is a great place to ride. It's wonderful. It's out Leestown Road, and we're lucky to have it. Now that it's cold, they open the indoor covered arena for so you can use that. That's pretty nice. It's $15 an hour for a single rider, 25 two or more. So if you're interested in that and want to get their hours, you need to call Georgia Ackerman at Parks and Recreation. Now, 253-0328 is her number, and if you can't remember that, just call them call the city government, city county government, and they will tell you how to get a hold of George Ackerman.
All righty. Matt Howard, do you see where Matt Frazier won a stakes down at Hialeah the other day?
It's about time. No, I didn't see it.
$25,000 stakes.
Yeah. Okay.
And then he won yesterday with one of his dad's horses at Riding on an Easy Street.
Riding on an Easy Street.
Yeah, he won yesterday. So.
Riding on an Easy Street, he's a good horse, though.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Dano's had him for years now. And
how old is that horse now?
I want to say 9.
Oh,
Boy. Is that right? Wow.
Hold on.
I bet he's won a pot full of money. You know, he's a pretty handy kind of a horse to have. Quarter horse. This is Matt Frazier, who's trains quarter horses here, and he's taken a string down to Hialeah. And he always does pretty well down there.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, that I'm glad he one is doing all right. Signature Stakes, $25,000 added. Horse named the Ocean King. Are you aware of that?
That's one of his new. This year, he's actually picked up quite a bit of new clients and new horses.
Not surprised.
Which speaks highly for his success. And yeah. I mean, you remember 3 years ago, pretty much he had us, his dad, maybe two other clients. And
yeah.
He'd still have a string of about 15, 16 horses between the three or four of us.
Yeah.
But now I think he's got a band about 40 down there.
Woo.
Oh, wow.
So.
Yeah. They better be winning then.
Well, sometimes people can still send trainers donkeys. You can't win with donkeys.
Well, that's true too. Well, you have to send them down the road.
We did.
We did.
Yeah, we ran with donkeys.
Well, we always had to sell anything that showed any ability. Mostly, though, we sold things out of two mares, our two best mares, and we had built-in buyers for everything that they threw. And, you know, so that's the way that goes.
Yeah, but back then you had Beulah Park you could run out. We don't have Beulah Park to run at anymore with the donkeys.
Well, you know, shipping up there is about 6 hours up there. Yeah. New track.
Yeah.
We used to run the donkeys at Turfway.
Yeah, that's where we were in. There in River Downs.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought River Downs, it's not River anymore either now.
No.
I don't even know what it's called. I still call it River Downs, and I've only been in the game for 6 years now.
Yeah. All right. Well, DeHare, sire sound horses that get to the races. 82% of his foals have started. And that includes his 2-year-olds of 2014. And they win. Over 71% of them win. And they win big. His average starter earns nearly $60,000. And most of them are still running. So if you want winning potential in your racing stable, take a hard look at DeHare. And keep in mind that he has sired major stakes winners in each of his first three crops to race. Last year, he was represented by Mamduha. She won two $100,000 stakes in New York, the Cicada and the Ruthless. And by Our Caravan, winner of the $150,000 Call to Derby. DeHare is a grade one stakes winner by Sire's Awesome Again. He stands for $75,000. And he stands at Shadwell Farm, $5,000 live foal. Also standing at Shadwell are Breeders' Cup Mile winner and millionaire Albertus Maximus. His first foals race this year. Graded Stakes winner and Graded Stakes sire Interdab, and Hall of Famer Invisor, a proven sire of Graded Stakes winners. Inquiries to Stallion Manager Kent Barnes. Take a look at the website, ShadwellFarm.com. Ralph Quillen's Quillen Leather and Tack, which is over in Paris, Kentucky. And Jackie, you got that note on Rooster Brewery. I'll throw that in just a minute. The Tack Shop. I'll tell you how you can find it. If you're going into Paris from the Lexington area, this is the Lexington Road, Lexington-Paris Road, go straight into Paris, go to the third stoplight and look to your left, and there you'll find Quillen Leather and Tack. They have quality service and leather goods since 1982, and they're the nation's largest custom halter shop. They ship out close to 20,000 halters a year all over the world. And I was over there day before yesterday. They did repaired four halters for me. And by golly, I no sooner got home and looked out in the field and I had one broken.
Really? Who was that?
Major.
Oh.
Yeah, tackle eligible if you took the halter.
They play.
Yeah, he and these turn old. Well, we didn't breed either one of those two. They're both kind of, well, we raced to tackle eligible. In fact, I bought him for a dollar, and he won me a julep cup at Keeneland, so I'm kind of proud of that.
Yeah, there you go.
A dollar's about all I could afford to pay for him.
Still true, isn't it?
Yes, that ain't changed.
Still true.
Anyway, we still got him out there, but they do a wonderful job of tack repair. I mean, it took some putting together on those things.
I bet you.
Oh, anyway, and whatever you need, the stallion shanks and you know, all kinds of twitches and bits and just about everything you need right there. Got a great gift shop, and you can get your pet collars and pet leads and your belts with the names on it, your own name on it, and brass. And, you know, it's a wonderful place to go and visit. Nice people, very friendly, very accommodating, and it's just a fun place to go in there and look around. So go now. Ralph has started a new business, Jackie. That's Rooster Brewery.
Yeah.
And that's where Matt and I went down the other day and met Howard and I and had a couple of beers down there.
Chili. That was chili night.
Two bowls of chili. That was good chili, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man.
Well, tonight he is having the Merline Brewery from Cincinnati is coming down. And the food, oh, they have really, I don't know, he was bragging about all the different kinds. I had three or four different really celebrated beers and all this stuff. And for food, you get the Thai and Mighty. So I guess that's Thai food. They'll be pulling in. And, you know, if you want pizza, you can go across the street, that pizza place.
Yeah, and they you say want that's Mexican, real good.
Yeah, they say it's wonderful. Yeah. Who said that? Murray West.
Yeah, Dr. West.
Yeah. And one side is also Mexican. To one side, you can go get to those places if you don't, you know, care for what.
We'll have to try that,
though. Yeah, because that sounds like a good idea. And then you go eat and drink in Rooster Brew and have a fine old time.
They got over 100 different kinds of beer in there.
On the wall.
Yeah.
I can't get out of high school. I'm sorry. It's still on that bus singing.
All right. Well, few will argue the fact that the most successful sire in the world today is Galileo. Man, there's no argument that the best son of Galileo standing in Kentucky for the 2015 breeding season is Magician. After breaking his maiden as a two-year-old by six lengths at the Curra, Magician went on to be acclaimed champion three-year-old colt in Ireland. He won the Classic Group 1 Irish 2000 Guineas at a flat mile, of course. He won the Group 3 D Stakes that year in Great Britain, and in his only start in the USA, turned in a brilliant performance to beat older horses in the Group 1, Grade 1, I should say, Breeders' Cup Turf. Last year, as a four-year-old, he again won Group Stakes at the Curra, finished second in Group 1 Stakes at Ascot and the Curra, and in his final start, turned in another outstanding performance to run second in the Grade 1 Arlington Million. He retired with earnings of over $2,584,000. Galileo has sired going on 200 stakes winners and 10 crops. Astounding. 200 stakes winners and 10 crops. And his best son in Kentucky enters stud for $12,500. Payable when the foal stands and nurses at Ashford Stud. Call the farm at 859-873-7088 and see the website. Coolmore.com.
I got a great name for a Galileo filly.
All right.
Galalulu.
Oh, my God.
Oh, by the way, sir, Sam Houston is having a big day of racing today. Four big stakes, lots of money.
Yeah.
But I don't know how many of them are. We don't know how many of them are Texas bred. But
all of them are Texas bred.
They're all Texas bred. Yeah. But it's a lot of money.
Okay.
So I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Well, I'm glad you threw it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't looked at the entries at Sam Houston. I saw that it was open, but, you know, yeah. I think they opened yesterday, as a matter of fact. Yeah, I believe they did.
Could be. I just know that I picked that up somewhere.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it was the Thoroughbred Daily News.
There you go. They, of course, they are running today a bunch of stakes down at the fairgrounds, as far as that goes. And one of them is a Colonel E.R. Bradley handicap. And from I'm going to read, if you don't know who Colonel E.R. Bradley was, you should.
And pay attention, and you will.
Yeah, pay attention. I'm going to read an old bit written in American Race Horses in 1946. Joe Palmer wrote it, as a matter of fact, but he was writing about that particular horse. And I mean, that particular man, because he died that year. So here we go. Edward Riley Bradley, born in Johnstown, Pennsylvania on December 12, 1859, died at Idle Hour Stock Farm, Lexington, Kentucky on August 15, 1946. He was a figure without any exact parallel in racing. He had, it was reported, worked in steel mills around Pittsburgh. Later, still by report, he'd been a cowboy in the West, an Indian fighter, a gold prospector. It was said he had known Billy the Kid. But the truth of these things was not known. In 1934, before a Senate committee, he characterized himself as a speculator, racehorse breeder, and gambler. In the late 80s, he had been a bookmaker at the races around Memphis and St. Louis. And he'd owned gambling casinos in El Paso, Long Branch, and Rockaway, and the famous one at Palm Beach. But his gambling was on an unflinchingly honest basis, and he established unusually high ethical standards. Once at Palm Beach, a patron had said, "Look, don't let me lose more than $5,000 a night in here. I get a few drinks and I play too high." Not long afterward, by browbeating croupiers into continuing to accept his bets, he lost $20,000. A check for $15,000 was in his hotel box the following morning. The first horse to carry the Bradley Silks was Friar John when he won the Harlem-Chicago track July 27, 1898. Between that date and his death, they were carried by four Derby winners, Broker's Tip, Burgoo King, Bubbling Over, and Behave Yourself, and by such others as Blue Larkspur, Bimelec, By Jiminy, Busher, Bridal Flower, Black Servant, Black Helen, and Blue Border. From 1903, when statistics are first available, through 1946, his horses have won 1,331 races and over $3,395,000. He'd established a farm in Lexington in 1906, then a 336-acre tract called Ash Grove. At the time of his death, it had grown to about 1,200 acres and was famous wherever racehorses was known as Idle Hour Stock Farm. In the late fall of 1946, all of the Bradley Thoroughbred interests, including the farm, were sold to a syndicate made up of Ogden Phipps, Green Tree Farm, and King Ranch. And a considerable number of the horses and the section of the farm containing the residence were sold to Edward S. Moore, and the remainder split up among the syndicate. His charities were beyond numbering. He built a church in Palm Beach. He donated nearly $300,000 to Kentucky orphanages over a period of years. A worn-out horseman could always turn to him in emergencies, and some he pensioned for life. His gifts were always unpublicized. Many were unknown, except to the recipients. He was buried in the Catholic cemetery at Lexington, and the American turf was aware, as it turned from the grave, that it was poor. It's also interesting that that same year, one of the horses that passed away was Burgoo King, the third of Colonel E.R. Bradley's four Derby winners. He died on the evening of May the 19th at John W. Galbraith's Darby Dan Farm near Columbus, Ohio. He had suffered a heart attack that morning. He was bred in 1929 in a partnership by Colonel Bradley and Horace N. Davis. Dr. Davis, incidentally, was a veterinarian, and was foaled in the latter's Bluegrass Heights stock farm across one valley from Idle Hour. As a two-year-old, he won four races and placed in the Pimlico Futurity, and at three, won the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness from four starts. He went out of action in June of 1932 with a bowed tendon. 2 years later, as a five-year-old, he returned to racing, won two of his five starts, and ran third in the Queens County Handicap, then went out again. In 1935, he was retired to stud at Idle Hour. He did fairly well, getting such stakes winners as Olney, Boy Angler, and Doubt Not. In 1942, he was sold to Mr. Galbraith and was moved to Darby Dan Farm. His first Ohio-bred crop included 8 2-year-old winners in 1945. He was the son of Colonel Bradley's second Derby winner, Bubbling Over, and was out of Minnewan, a winning daughter of Lanawan, which produced six other winners, none of them of any great account. You know, Kayak II moved, died that in 1946 also. That's an interesting thing. Kayak had won the Santa Anita Handicap for Charles S. Harrod back in 1939, and came back in 1940, and probably would have won that if they'd let him run. He ran as an entry with Seabiscuit and got beat a length and a half, but they wanted to win with Seabiscuit, and they didn't let him run that day. And I was reading about that in other places over the. I don't know if it's mentioned in there that that he probably could have won that. Let's see. Here it said Kaya II won the Santa Anita Handicap for Charles S. Howard in 39 and was suggested, but not proved, that he could have won in 1940 had he not been held back in second place to allow his stablemate Seabiscuit to win and set a new world record for money winning. Kayak held a track record that he had set the previous year. out at Santa Anita. But anyway, that was just speculation. You never know about those kind of things. All right, well, awesome again stands for fee of $75,000. Am I doing that right now? No, I go to the top of the hour, don't I? Where am I? Oh, yeah, okay. I'm doing the right one. Awesome Again stands for a fee of $75,000. Hall of Famer Ghost Zapper by Awesome Again stands for $60,000. Oxbow, winner of the Classic Preakness Stakes and a son of Awesome Again, entered stud for a fee of $17,500. Awesome Patriot, a stakes-winning full brother to Oxbow by Awesome Again out of Tiz Now's full sister, entered stud in 2014. He stands for $3,500 doing a full stanza nurses. You talk about a running family. This is it. Awesome Patriot's Dam is also a full sister to Millionaire Paintner, who entered stud for $25,000. Grade 1 winner Paintner also happens to be sired by Awesome Again. Sure makes that $3,500 for Awesome Patriot look like a bargain, doesn't it? And speaking of looking good, Awesome Patriot was a $350,000 Keenan sales yearling. Awesome Patriot broke his maiden first time out at Oak Tree meeting, won again in impressive fashion going a mile at Santa Anita, and then placed in greatest stakes at 2-3, came back to win the Aladar Stakes. First foals are due this year, and he's eligible for Spendthrift's popular Breed Secure program. Call Des Dempsey or Brian Lyle or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030 and see the website at spendthriftfarm.com. I want to talk about a couple of products that I happen to believe in, Lubricin and a Reborn. They make Lubricin for horses and for people. I take it, as a matter of fact. Tastes pretty good. They flavor it a little bit, you know, but I don't know what the horse kind tastes like. But anyway, the kind for people tastes pretty good. Both were developed by Dr. Steve Alday, one of the nation's top veterinarians, and both are endorsed by many owners and trainers and veterinarians. And both, incidentally, they're all natural, test-free. You don't have to worry about the spit box. Lubricin, to put it simply, sustains the integrity of joint fluid. That's why I take it. And it reduces the need for costly and painful acid injections and so forth like that. Trainers that use Lubricin on a regular basis, like Todd Pletcher and Tony Dutrow, Jerry Hollendorfer, Mike Maker, just to mention a few of them. And as I say, they also makes it for humans. I tell you what, they got a call just the other day from one of the leading riders. He rides, I think, steeplechasers and so forth in South Africa. They got a call, a telephone call, just thanking them for those products. He said, "Boy, they're great." Reborn, it's a dietary supplement for horses of all ages. It's a natural bovine colostrum, safe, easy to use, and you start using it with foals, and it strengthens the foal's immune system while he's nursing on the mare. And because of its high concentration of growth factors and antibodies, and it supports immune functions in horses of all ages. But I would start with it with foals. You know, we're always running out of colostrum during the foaling season. For more information, go to the websites, lubricin.com, that's lubricin.com, or reborn.com, reborne.com. You can buy it at KBC in Lexington, a horse sense over in Versailles. And, I need a cough drop. Anyway, it's great products, and a lot of top horses run on them, you know, like Wise Dan and Stop Charging Maria and horses like that. So check those websites, lubricin.com, lubricin.com, or Reborn, reborne.com. Well, last Saturday, I got a tickle in my throat. Last Saturday at the fairgrounds, the Panzeretta Stakes. That's a race named after one of the toughest race mares ever to step on a racetrack. I'm not going to be able to make it through this. You want to play something?
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Last Saturday at the fairgrounds, the Panzeretta Stakes, a race named after one of the toughest race mares ever to step on a racetrack, was won by another tough race mare, Good Deed, a six-year-old daughter of Broken Vow. Good Deed led at every pole to take the Panzeretta, getting the 5.5 furlongs in a minute and 2 and 4, just 3/5 off the course record, to win by 2.5 lengths. She has won 9 of her 16 starts, 5 stakes, 3 at the fairgrounds where Panzeretta is buried. One at Churchill and another at Oakland for earnings of $362,803. She was one of the 28 stakes horses of 2014 sire, by Broken Vow, who closed out the year by siring the winner of the Grade 3 WL McKnight Handicap at Gulfstream. That was Divine Oath. Winner also last year of the Grade 3 Kent Stakes at Delaware, Grade 3 American Derby at Arlington Park, and 5 of his 9 stars and of more than 416,000. 28 stakes horses in 1 year. If you want to black type your mare, look to Broken Vow, 25,000 due when it stands and nurses at Pin Oak Stud. Inquire to Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens, 859-873-1420, and see the website at Pin Oak Stud.
Thank you, Matthew. Shiloh.
I don't have the radio voice like Ursa does. I tried.
Well, I wasn't going to be able to do anything. I got a tickle in my throat. Where are we now? Well, I got Amy here with me. Amy, I'm going to let you talk.
Okay. What do you want me to talk about, sir?
Amy Parker is a nutritionist over at McCauley Brothers feed mill over there. And, golly, I've been doing business with you all for I don't know how long now.
I know. Seems like forever. Yeah. That's like most of our customers. They all seem like family. Seems like we've all grown up together, known each other forever. So,
but you haven't kicked them out of the family yet?
No, not going to kick him out. Oy. No.
Well, it's a great outfit. You know, you all have been keeping track of the stakes winners that were raised. I think they won 191 stakes last year.
Yes, sir.
Horses raised on McCauley products.
Yes, sir.
And let's see if I've got this right. I think 106 of them were graded stakes.
I believe that's right.
And 28 were grade one.
I believe so.
And you know, I know we missed some.
Well, we're still counting, and you're right. We missed some because there's some we just don't know about that were raised on our feed. And you know, that's what we take pride in, is our customers helping them out. Doesn't matter whether it's the backyard horse or the horse that's going to go, you know, race the graded stakes. But they can't be a champion if you don't get to the track. You got to raise them right.
And that's the most important thing.
That's right.
You know, is how they're raised on the farm. You know, and I know that's we always raised them on the pellets, you know, and that you all make. And then when we get to the track, we would switch over to oats and whatever. Mm-hmm. But and which most people do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I tell you what, if we ever had anything that backed off their feed. And we've had a few like fillies and maybe a gilling or two like that. They were raised on these pellets, you know, and if they backed off their oats and stuff like that, we would take those pellets and bring them in and melt them down and mix them in that feed, and I swear they would go right at it.
Well, that's the great thing, and one of the unique things about the way McCauley's makes their feed is our sweet feeds and our pelleted feeds are essentially the same. We just basically grind up the sweet feed and make it a pellet. So it's not like you're using a lower quality grain or you're compromising anything by doing it that way. And you're right, those pellets, they make such a great mash. You can just add a little water to it, and go about your business.
Yeah. Yeah, it works.
It does. Yeah. It does.
Yeah. Too bad I didn't have one of those steak swingers that you all did.
Well, you know, we're going to keep trying.
Well, I'm not going to quit trying. I haven't saddled a horse since in 02, I believe it was, 2002.
We got many years. We can still get you another one.
That's right. That's right. They sell them every day, you know. You can go out and buy you another mare. And-
uh-oh. I'm not like Fred Hooper. Fred Hooper was in his 90s buying broodmares. Now, that's what you call optimism.
There you go.
Yeah. Now, y'all, I want to talk to you. Let me get this set of commercials out of the way. I think I can do them now, Matt. Thank you so much for doing that pin oak for me.
Pin oak doesn't thank me.
Pin oak doesn't thank you. Oh, they're nice people down there. Clifford and...
Yeah.
Well, Awesome again is a complete sire. He has sired 14 Grade 1 stakes winners. He's sired more Grade 1 winners on the dirt than any other sire in the world. He has sired 4 winners of Breeders' Cup races. No active sire can match that record. He has sired a winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, 2 winners of the Breeders' Cup Distaff, a winner of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He sired a winner of the Classic Preakness Stakes. He's the only winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic to sire a winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic. He has sired a Horse of the Year, a member of the Hall of Fame, and a leading sire in the Great Ghost Zapper, his stablemate at Adena Springs. In 2014, his sales yearlings averaged $162,909 with a high of $700,000. He stands for $75,000. You don't have to pay it until the foal stands and nurses. And he stands at Adena Springs, Kentucky, home also of Breeders' Cup Classic winner and Grade 1 sire Alphabet Soup, Breeders' Cup Classic winner and leading sire Ghost Zapper, Eclipse Award winner and Breeders' Cup Classic winner Macho Uno, Breeders' Cup Classic winner Mucho Macho Man, 5 times Grade 1 winner Point of Entry, multiple Grade 1 winner Tiago, and Classic winner and Grade 1 sire Touch Gold. Call the farm at 800-975-5641 and see the website at AdenaStallions.com.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. WLXG Lexington. LM Communications Broadcasting Station. LM Communications. 2014 Lexington Small Business of the Year.
Tell me, how many stallions now at stud aside 2 winners of the Kentucky Oaks? Well, I can name one, Proud Citizen. He's the sire of Proud Spell, winner not only of the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks, but of the Grade 1 Alabama, the Grade 2 Delaware Oaks, the Grade 2 Matron Stakes, the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks, and over $2,131,000, plus an Eclipse Award. Then along came Believe You Can, to win the Kentucky Oaks, the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks, the Grade 3 Tempted, plus 3 more stakes and $1,280,000. There's also been a lot more going on for Proud Citizen besides signing 2 winners of Kentucky Oaks. We have him with 34 stakes winners. In fact, 14% of his starters have won a place in stakes, and a superb 85% of his foals do start. He sires sound horses. Proud Citizen won the Grade 2 Coolmore Lexington at Keeneland, ran second in the Kentucky Derby, third in the Preakness. He's by noted sire of Sires Gone West from the family of the great producer Natalma, and he stands for $10,000 live foal and Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com and keep in mind that the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. I've got Amy Parker with me, who's a nutritionist and at McCauley Brothers in Versailles, Kentucky, and I just did a commercial there for Adena Springs and for Airdrie Stud, and they are good clients of you all.
Yes, sir. Long time customers.
Long time, and I tell you what, how many awards has Adena Springs won as a breeder and owner? And God almighty.
I know.
7 or 8.
I know.
Yeah.
They need to just put that on a recording, hit play every time.
Barry says he's got a magic feel over there where all these stakes runners are coming from. I told him, Brent, it's all that Macaulay feed.
That's right. That's right. We are a piece of the puzzle. It's all a puzzle. You have to have the right pieces fall in place, and we are certainly one of the pieces.
Yeah. Now, that was, I think, one of the founders or the people that got you all making pellets down there was Lee Eaton.
Yep.
And Dr. Johnny Griggs, maybe?
I believe so.
And maybe Dr. Chuck Cooter?
Yep. And it's the EKG formula. You know, it's funny, folks that didn't know about Eaton, Kidder, and Griggs, they're like, is that something for their heart? And, no, those are initials from some great folks. Yep.
Well, I guess Lee Eaton was one of the finest horsemen I've ever been around in my life.
Yeah, I didn't get to know him, but his legacy certainly lives on.
Yeah, and of course Johnny Griggs, mm-hmm. Veterinarian par excellence, and he's in with Chuck Kidder, and they raise a lot of runners. Boy, I tell you what, we're always plugging them on announcing the names of the breeders of those stakes winners, and I know their names jump up all the time.
All the time, absolutely.
Oh, here comes some coffee for my throat. Did you hear me poop out?
No.
Well, I did. Matt did my pin commercial for me.
Good. See ya.
Take care now. Will we see you before you leave?
No, I'm leaving Monday morning.
Okay.
I'll be gone until Sunday.
Well, be careful, Matt.
All right.
Matt Howard. Have you met Matt Howard?
I had not, no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. We were busy.
So. Yeah, well, I know.
We were all, I didn't
yeah.
Well, don't tell him I said so, but he's a great guy.
Yeah. We know. We won't say.
And a very good horseman, too, as far as that
yes,
goes.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. But getting into the nutrition of these things, Jackie, you know more about it than I do, but what?
I just feed my colleagues, let them worry about it.
Well, that's kind of what we hope for. The nutrition, people want to make it a lot more complicated than it needs to be, but, you have to have the right foundation for these horses.
Right.
To make it to the track or to do anything, really, for the longevity of the horse.
Yeah. So when you work for a farm like that, you go out and do you kind of assess each horse?
I do. It's very farm dependent. I kind of they're the pilot. They tell me what they want. How much involvement, how much advice, how much everything. And we will do as much or as little as they ask us to do. And we do everything from, as you all know, we have scales to weigh the horses.
Yeah.
And so we weigh mostly the growing horses, although I've got some farms that I'm weighing their stallions and their mares as well. And so for the growing horses, of course, we're tracking their growth rates, and for the mares and stallions, body condition scoring. But we'll also, we don't even have to weigh. I have several farms that just have me come out, and we walk fields and look at horses and evaluate horses, body condition, talk about what they're feeding. We look at the hay. It's not just the feed. It's the whole diet. And, of course, the major part of the diet is the forage, the pasture and the hay.
Uh-huh.
So, we make sure we look at the whole picture. We don't put blinders on and just look at a piece of it. It's got to look at the whole thing.
Yeah.
How they're feeding, believe it or not, that gets into it. You can't try to get 12 pounds in a horse in a four-hour span. That doesn't work well.
Right.
Little things, and it's looking at everything they do, every aspect, how the management of the horse is, how much they're turned out, all those things.
I know that one of the things that they used to say that there'd be a lot of colic cases over the weekend because the regular people would take off and the part-time people would come in and feed.
Well, the routine changes. And,
yeah, yep, right.
And these horses are just creatures of habit. They like it to be the same. You feed me at roughly the same time in the morning and the same time in the evening. You turn me out, put me in. Keep it as consistent as you can. You're right. Colic cases go up on the weekends because everything changes.
That's amazing.
Weekends and holidays.
Now this weighing.
Interesting.
Is that a complicated thing to do? Is it difficult to do?
It's really not. Certainly you get an appreciation for people that handle their horses more.
Right.
And
some farms you might worry a little bit about going to more than others.
Right. It can be a bit of a rodeo at times.
Yeah.
But there are truly farms that you can tell those horses would follow the folks off a cliff because they trust the people so much. They handle them so much. They work with them so much. Mm-hmm. But it's really not. The scale is about 3.5 feet wide, 7 foot long. It's maybe a couple inches up off the ground, and they just walk right up on it.
But you haul it out there?
I do, in the back of the pickup truck. It's battery operated. I mean, I've weighed horses in the middle of a field. I don't have to have electricity. It's sort of a one-man show, you know, sets up and away we go, and you just walk the horses up there, get them to stand for a few seconds, and it gives us a, a weight. But we couple that with the body condition score, looking at, you know, how fat or how skinny, because, you know, there's what the horse should, for growing horses, what they should gain. But if I'm looking at a horse that's, you know, the Goodyear blimp on legs, and it didn't gain quite well, that's not going to hurt my feelings, mm-hmm. because the horse is already overweight. You don't want an overweight horse to continue to gain. You need that horse to back off.
Yeah.
The opposite is also true. If you have one that is a little light, but he gained a little heavier, you know, you've done something with the diet, push some calories to them, trying to get their weight up, and they gain a little too heavy, I don't get too bent out of shape over that either. Yes, ideally, you want to keep that growth rate as smooth as you can.
What about growth spurts?
Growth spurts are something that, you know, in a couple months we're going to be looking at. You had the old way of doing things, or there was a sort of a myth out there that restrict them starting in February, really cut back on their feed almost to the point of starving them, really cut back on feed a lot, just really slow that growth rate to prevent the orthopedic disorders that come from too fast a growth rate in the spring. Actually, it's the opposite of that. That will actually increase your risk for orthopedic disorders because you can't control how much they're going to eat. You know that when the grass comes on, you're going to get spurts.
Sure.
So you don't manage it until you start to see green, middle to late March most of the time for us. That's when you start to trickle back. You don't get real dramatic and cut it in half, but you start a couple pounds back. And then a few weeks, a month later, a few more, you know.
Right.
It's all about managing and trying to anticipate what's Mother Nature going to do for us. When's the pasture coming? When is it not coming? Because we've been here when it snowed on Derby Day.
Right.
You know?
Right.
We've had early springs and we've had late springs, and it's all trying to a little bit of guesswork. But you try to manage those spurts as best you can. The flip side of it is in the fall, trying to not get them to drop off due to the winter too much as well, trying to make sure you're maintaining it. And it can be done. The vast majority of our customers do that.
We've kind of always gone into the winter a little heavy because we figured, you know, they're going to get hay. I mean, they get good hay. Mm-hmm. But I was never worried at the end of the summer if they looked a little plump because they were going to lose it, I thought.
And there's a very big difference between a little plump and a whole lot
obese,
of plump.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
A little plump, I'm like you. It doesn't hurt my feelings if they're a little plump. But you don't want a real, real fat horse.
Right. Exactly. Let me ask you just something off the wall. How much weight does a mare gain when she's pregnant?
Generally speaking, if she started out in ideal body condition, she will gain a couple hundred pounds.
Is that right?
Because most newborn thoroughbred foals are between 110 and 120 pounds.
Sure.
Then you add in the fluid, the placenta, and all those sort of things.
Right.
Yeah, you're looking at a couple hundred pounds.
That's
believe it or
not. A lot of weight. Now
it is.
How much do you treat differently, I'm sure you do, barren mares and foal mares? What's the difference in how you feed them?
Very different nutritional requirements there. The barren mares, because most of those are not working, the most exercise they're getting is their jaw as they're grazing.
Exactly.
You know, they're going to have, of all the classes of horses, they are going to have the lowest requirements. And with the pastures that we generally have in central Kentucky, a lot of those mares can be maintained on just a vitamin mineral supplement and the pasture.
Uh-huh.
Now, your pregnant mares, you get the full gamut. If we're looking at averages, you know, they're going to have higher protein, higher energy requirements because they're literally eating for two.
Yeah.
Particularly in that last trimester. Used to be what we would do, of course, most of our mares, when they're in the early stages of pregnancy, a lot of them have foals at their side.
Right.
So you feed them for lactation rather than pregnancy because that will meet those requirements.
Okay, what is a lactation ingredient, for instance?
Well, you're going to look at your higher protein. So most of those mares, you will meet their requirements with a good quality alfalfa grass mixed hay, like a 50-50 ratio,
right.
And a decent quality 14% protein feed that is designed for pregnant mares.
Okay. Do they get selenium extra, or what is it that pregnant mares get extra?
It's all the vitamins and minerals. It's not just one thing. It's all the vitamins, minerals, the energy, and the protein, because all of those requirements have increased.
Uh-huh.
And every stage of pregnancy, you know, we break it into thirds, basically. Their highest requirements for pregnancy will be that last trimester. Because
right.
Literally from the 9th to the 10th month, or from the 8th to the 9th month, 9th to the 10th, and 10th to 11th, each month it actually increases.
And they're always, just about always weaned, what, in the middle?
In the middle.
It
used to be that middle, that second trimester, you know, when you wean, you kick your mare out, and you don't really look at her again until about a month or so before foaling. Some of the more recent research, what they have found out, they didn't feed them during that time, that second trimester post-weaning period. Mm-hmm. And that used to be kind of the old way of thinking. Unless they were a hard-keeping mare. But some of the more recent research, what we found out is some of the orthopedic disorders, the OCDs, the system things, are in utero being developed in that second trimester.
Oh, interesting.
So it's become more and more important to, if they are an easy-keeping mare, give them a vitamin mineral supplement.
Right.
Or if they do require feed, make sure you're feeding that minimum amount that's required, depending on whoever the manufacturer is. So that you're meeting vitamin, mineral, and nutrient requirements.
Right.
But yes, selenium would be one of the nutrients, calcium, phosphorus, all of those things, copper, zinc, all the mineral requirements, all the vitamin requirements, everything goes up through pregnancy. And then the first 3 months of lactation, when the mare's nursing that foal, those are your highest requirements.
Yeah, especially if she's in foal.
Yep.
Wow,
yes,
that is.
Hate to interrupt you, girl.
Oh, okay. I got more questions.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, we've got more questions. Good. Well, Lee, making his first start since winning the Grade 1 Don Handicap last February, won the 1 mile Grade 3 Hal's Hope Stakes at Gulfstream last Saturday, a race he also won a year ago. Bred Norm McClavin Farm and Adele Dillsnyder, Lee has also won the Grade 3 Commonwealth Handicap at Churchill. He has won graded stakes on dirt and turf, 7 of his 13 starts, and over 802,000. He was one of 10 2014 stakes winners by First Samurai. Sire of 4 grade 1 winners, 2 millionaires, and 22 stakes winners in his first 4 crops. Well, yesterday at Oaklawn, the $100,000 fifth season stakes was won by Carve, a 5-year-old son of First Samurai, bred by Claiborne Farm and Adele Dillsnyder. So he had 2 really good stakes winners bred by the partnership here recently. He has won 3 stakes, 1 graded, and placed in 5 more, including the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby, and he's earned over $772,000. First Samurai is the most precocious son of 3-time champion Sire Giants Causeway, and he stands for $15,000. Payable when the foal stands and nurses. He stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams, 859-233-4252, and see the website at claiborne farm.com. LexHorseFarms.com, that's Hill and Reagan Parker. And believe me, they are in the real estate business, and they're two of the finest people you could ever do business with. It's nice to do business with people you can trust and you can depend on, and Hill and Reagan Parker fill the bill. They've been in the real estate business for going on 13, 14 years now. And, of course, I got to know Hill out here when he was training out here. He still trains out here occasionally, but he's a very good horseman. And they're both, you know, they've got experience both in the horse business and in the real estate business, and that's a winning combination, especially if you're looking for a farm. They can help you find the perfect farm just for you, and they've got listings all over Central Kentucky and even outside of Central Kentucky. Fed and Bourbon and Jesmond and Woodford and Scott and Clark County, outstanding variety of locations and sizes and prices. They've got a website. It's a great website, fun to go to, kind of a wish list there. And one of these days we'll have to sell our little place over in Bourbon County, and the first person I'm going to call is Hill and Reagan Parker. So. Anyway, it's their number over there. It's a 5859 number, 608-8039. And it's Lex. Their website is lexhorsefarms.com, lexhorsefarms.com. Right now, they've got places all over central Kentucky, as I said, over in Versailles, over on Pisgah Pike, over on Escondido Road in Paris, and Payne's Depot over in Georgetown, Hume Bedford in Lexington, and you name it, they've got it. And I would recommend them again. It's lexhorsefarms.com, Hill and Reagan Parker. Excuse me. Well, Get Stormy covered 120 mares in his first season at stud, 111 in his second year, and you will recognize the names of many of the breeders who sent mares to him. I know many of them personally. Let me tell you that there's some hard-to-please hard boots among them, breeders that demand confirmation to go along with race record and pedigree. Get Stormy fills the bill. Go see him and take a look for yourself. As for race record, he's a three-time Grade 1 winner. He won Grade 1 stakes at Churchill, Keeneland, and Gulfstream. He earned over $1,606,000. Pedigree, well, he's one of 91 stakes winners by Stormy Atlantic, a highly successful son of Stormcat that stands for a fee of $25,000. Get Stormy stands at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm, a great place to board your horses. And they raise a lot of runners there, too. So go take a look at Get Stormy and the other Crestwood stallions and ask about the many services they provide at Crestwood Farm. Just call the farm at 859-252-3770 and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. Crestwood Farm, incidentally, another client of McCauley Brothers.
Yes, sir.
That's an old-time horseman in Poland.
They're a fun farm to go visit. Yeah. What a nice family. Very nice.
Yep. It's I've known Pope since we were both young. That's been a while.
Yeah. Way back.
Yeah. Jackie, you had some more questions for Amy?
Yes, I do.
This is Amy Parker from McCauley Brothers, incidentally.
So I see the, you know, how you outline feeding pregnant mares and stuff like that. Now, if you've got a barren mare, if you've got a skinny one, and a regular size, and a fat, and a pone fat. Who's going to get in foal easier, and why? Or is there a certain percentage of established of that kind of thing?
There's been some research that indicates it's like anything else, Jackie. You know, if you're in good shape, everything's easier. So yeah. The mares that are in healthy to maybe even slightly over are much better, probably going to catch easier. You know, people forget that fat is a good conductor of hormones in our bodies.
I should be conducting all over the place. Didn't know that.
You know, and it can affect, being overweight can affect a lot of things, just like being underweight. You know, the research showed that mares that are in better body condition versus horses that are light do get in foal better. I do hear from a lot of farms, fast-forwarding through that, that the fatter mares, the heavier mares, have a harder time foaling.
I had heard that somehow, somewhere, yep. I didn't know if there was research on it.
I don't know off the top of my head that there is, but, you know, I certainly, you know, being a scientist, I absolutely believe in research, but I also believe in real life. You know? There's folks that are out in the barn and they know as much or more than the folks on a research facility any day of the week.
Right.
You know, and I can say just from my experiences going to farms, you know, weighing foals and what the farms tell me, you know, I see the mare and they say, yeah, this was a tough foaling. And I'm looking at the mare and I'm like, bet it was.
Right,
she's so fat. She looks like she might have another one in there.
Right.
You know? So, you know, it's, but that people like to see a fat horse. You know, I in some of the seminars I've done, I'll put up a slide that shows a really obese horse and a really, really skinny horse, and I'll ask the question, which horse is healthier? And 9 times out of 10, people always pick the fat horse. And the right answer is, no, they're both equally unhealthy, just for opposite reasons.
Right.
So that's why it's important to try to keep your horses in good body condition. You know, you don't want them obese. You know, obviously, it's not skinny, but trying to keep them in good body condition throughout making those diet changes throughout the year. Don't just, here's what I'm feeding, and I'm feeding it all year round, and they'll just adapt. No, they won't.
Now, these services that you do, like going out and weighing these programs and everything, you all don't charge. That's free to anybody who's buys your feed.
Right. It is a service. You know, it's a service that we provide to our customers at no charge. Whether it be weighing the horses, coming out and evaluating. And, you know, Dr. John Liu, who is our head nutritionist, and I both are educated in equine nutrition, a lot of years of experience. And you know, in our industry, it's a little tough on John and I because anybody can call themselves a nutritionist. You know, you have to have a veterinary medical degree to call yourself a veterinarian. But unfortunately, it's not that way. And that you have a lot of folks claiming to be nutritionists, and they're really not.
Right.
And you can get some really wild and wacky advice and some things out there that John and I often find ourselves just shaking our head.
Yeah.
You know, where'd they come up with that?
Remember when they went around selling little 12x12 boxes of fresh, what were they, bean sprouts or something? Some kind of sprouts. Do you remember the sprout thing that went through?
Yep.
Yeah, remember that? They came up and they wanted to sell you. They wanted to deliver you sprouts. You know, I thought that was pretty interesting.
We get some, John and I swear we're going to write a book one of these days on the things that have come up. You know, yeah. And we do. We'll get those calls, and we'll beat a path to the other's door. You know, I got a good one for you now.
Yeah, exactly.
Where'd you go to school?
I am a homebred. I went to University of Kentucky, got my bachelor's degree in animal science.
Yeah.
And I know, go Cats.
Yeah.
And then I got my master's degree under Dr. Laurie Lawrence at the University of Kentucky in equine nutrition.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, I grew up here in Lexington. I actually grew up maybe 3 miles from here. Over on Bryan Station Road.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. When I say I'm homebred, I mean, I'm really homebred. I'm just right around the corner here. And I've migrated all the way from Bryan Station Road to Versailles.
Okay.
I didn't go far.
Very, very adventurous. And
I know.
Yeah, you really struck out there.
17 miles.
Yeah, exactly.
We're over there close to Fred Mitchell then.
Yes. Yep. Yep. I used to board my horse right around the corner from him, right there on the corner of Bryan Station Briar Hill.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Oh,
a little.
Hedgewood Farm and all those people over there. Yeah. Well.
Yep. I didn't go far. Didn't have any reason to. I mean, why would you want to live anywhere else if you love horses?
Yeah.
You know, and I grew up loving horses. I never.
You ride?
I just have a little fat pleasure horse. Nobody'd give 2 cents for it. I wouldn't take anything in the world for.
There you go.
He's 26 and a half, and I've had him since he was three.
26 and a half.
And you wouldn't know it. He's on a pound of the M10 balancer a day. For all those folks that swear about senior horses and you have to have senior feed, no, you don't. That's a great marketing ploy. You know, thumbs up to the folks that came up with fill in the blank senior feed.
What did you talk about? You giving him? You said
it's M10 balancer. It's a vitamin mineral supplement. You feed 1 to 2 pounds per day. Gives them all the vitamins and minerals they need, but not the calories to put weight on, because he is like, I would say at least 50% of the herd in Central Kentucky are easy keepers.
Yes.
They can gain weight off of icicles and air.
Yeah.
And they just don't need the calories, but the vitamin mineral support to keep their hooves healthy, hair coat healthy, immune system going.
I got a friend with a bunch of half-draft horses that are so fat, and they don't need to be fat.
We certainly see those trends. You know, certain breeds are prone to be easy keepers and you know, don't need the feed. Thoroughbreds, standardbreds, they aren't quite as easy keeping. They usually need feed to keep the weight up. Their metabolism's just a lot faster.
Right. Let me ask you a question now about hooves.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a mare, and as far as I know, she's always two white front feet, and they're shelly, and they're not very good. Then we've got her on, what's that stuff you sell? Farriers.
Oh, the Biotime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, we've got her on that. How long does that take? That's an awful long, because you got to wait for that foot to grow out.
The horse's hoof, on average, grows just under a half an inch a month if you average it out over a year. This time of year, it's actually slower than that. It's
growing hair.
Faster.
That's what they've always said. That's what the blacksmiths always say. They're growing hair, not foot.
That's right. And you know, it's faster in warmer, wetter conditions. So in the spring and summer, your hoof is going to grow quite a bit faster. So anytime you do a hoof supplement or anything that's going to affect the hoof and the hoof growth, usually you're looking at a minimum of 3 months before you're going to see a difference. And it's not going to affect what's already there.
Right.
It's going to be the new growth from the cornet band down.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, important point that I always make to people that come in saying, I've got a horse with bad feet. A lot of those horses are easy keepers. They're not being fed any grain. One of the symptoms of a trace mineral deficiency, copper, zinc, selenium, is poor hoof quality.
Ah.
So I always put them on something like the M10 balancer, which is vitamin mineral supplement we talked about, or the M30, which is very similar. It's just higher in protein. One of those two products first, because more often than not, once you meet the vitamin mineral requirements, you fix the hoof, mm-hmm. and you don't need a biotin supplement. Now, there is a population of horses that's not the case, and they do need not only the vitamin mineral support, but they need a biotin supplement as well.
We feed 12.
The original 12?
Yeah, so yeah. She should be getting...
Is she getting at least 4 pounds per day?
Yeah.
Yep. Then she probably needs... She
back,
just
I have
needs.
To... I have, she has a tendency to get a little obese. I have to cut her back a little.
Okay.
Yeah,
here. Yeah,
she
gets
now,
a lighter and that's the
feed.
Other thing. If she's heavy and she's got bad feet, extra weight on those hooves is just going to make it worse. That's why.
Exactly.
So you might even consider, you know, it may be this
we
time
have
of
to,
year...
We have to muzzle her
in the summer.
Spring,
then she, yeah. What I would do is, if she needs the feed right now to keep weight on, which, you know, a lot
that's
of...
That's what we're doing.
Okay.
She does, but she
does.
She
still lost some, Jack. She looks good.
Yeah. It's hard to feed different amounts in, when, you know, she's turned out with a horse that's probably getting half of her foot supplement, and he doesn't need it.
Right. That's always, you know, it's a challenge. There's, as I said earlier, there's ideal and then there's realistic.
Yeah.
Ideally, you could feed everybody exactly what you're supposed to get, and everybody eats out of their own pan, and
that's
nobody
not happening.
Right. You know, so you sort of have to pick your battles and accept, you know, okay, I'm going to feed in a group situation, and I'm just going to have to accept that this one's going to be fat. You know,
right.
This one's not going to get quite the supplement they're supposed to. Those sort of things.
I have a question about what we used to call foal bumps, you know.
Pithecitis.
Mm-hmm. Years ago, they had creep feeders, mm-hmm. you know, for the foals. So the mare couldn't get, and they'd feed the foals just right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided, I think, that was way too much feed, that they didn't need it. Am I right?
That is true. And what we know about the foal's digestive tract is it's very obviously immature when they're first born. And primarily their nutrition is going to come from the mare's milk. Yes, you will get foals under a week of age that are eating out of mama's tub, eating hay. It's more of a monkey see, monkey do. It's not that their digestive system or their body's actually being able to do a whole lot with that feed. It's
right.
just, this is how you inoculate and get, because that gut has microbes, bacteria in it, good microbes, those are necessary. So eating the hay, eating the feed, even at that young of an age is helping to inoculate that digestive system to get the bacteria built up. It's really not until they're about 2.5-3 months of age that their body is really mature enough to start to be able to actually use our typical feedstuffs, pasture and
right.
hay and things. Feeding them straight off the bat, unless the mare is not milking well,
yeah,
it's a bad idea. Because
yeah.
you number one, they don't need it. Number two, they can't really do a whole lot with it, although a lot of those creep feeders they were using, the milk replacer pellets, those they can use, but that increases their growth rate too much. But the other problem is you fill them up on feed, they stop nursing.
Ah, that's bad.
And then, you know, they stop nursing, mom's milk production will also decline. You kind of let nature be nature a little bit on that one.
Yeah.
Leave them alone. Let them nurse mama unless you've got a problem. And then if you've got a problem, then talk to your nutritionist, you know, a little bit.
Do you see less epithecitis than you used 2 years ago?
I've been with Macaulay 17 years. I don't know that I see less of it. To be honest, Jackie, I just haven't thought about it.
Yeah.
I still see it. I think it's in some cases a part of normal development for a lot of the horses. We see it in the spring. Feed and nutrition gets blamed a lot. And actually, and yes, that can factor in, but it's not the only cause of it. The only cause of physitis, epiphysitis. There's a myriad of causes. Certainly genetics factors in. That's not the answer anybody else. The two answers nobody wants to hear is, well, three answers. The three answers nobody wants to hear is genetics, because that means,
right.
Well, yeah. You know what that means.
Yeah.
That's
you
not good.
Messed up. Yeah.
Genetics, management, something you're doing physically, you're locking them in the stall too long, something along, you know, you're right. Running them around, whatever. And just plain old bad luck. Those are three
right.
Big ones. Other things would be, you know, hard ground. We get a little droughty.
Yeah.
You know, you get a drought season, you get foals stomping on hard ground, stomping at flies.
Right.
That concussion. Horses that run a lot, for whatever reason, they're upset, and you get foals. I mean, yes, foals need to run, but excessively so, for whatever reason. That concussion on those joints can cause physitis.
Okay. You want to do some commercials? I still have a couple more questions.
I'm running out of time here. A grade one winner misdirection, grade one and group one winner flotilla, grade one winner mass track, grade one winner ultimate eagle, grade one winner midships, 2014 group one winner full mass, 2014 group one winner litteris, all sired by Mizzen Mass. The winners of three Grade 1 Breeders' Cup races, of a winner of the Classic Group 1 French 1,000 guineas, a winner of the $1,719,000, another that earned over $1,066,000, all sired by Mizzen Mass. So I have 9 2014 stakes winners, two of them Group 1 stakes winners, one a two-year-old. So I've graded stakes winners on dirt, grass, synthetic. So I've graded stakes winners at distances from 6 furlongs to 1.25 miles. Sire stakes winners in 6 different countries. One of only 5 active sires to have sired 2 winners of Breeders' Cup races in the same year, one of which sold for $2.7 million as a racing breeding prospect last year. Mizzen Mass is, well, he's done pretty much about all you could ask for a stud. He offers an outcross to most North American mares, and he stands for $25,000 live foal at Judmont Farm. Inquiries are Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, 859-272-7629, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, January 10 at Santa Anita, the Grade 2 $200,000 San Pasqual Stakes was won by Opportunity, a 4-year-old colt raised by Bill Betts Farm for the partnership of Bill Betts, DJ Stable, Dr. Chuck Kidder, John Betts, and Nancy Robinow. Opportunity was sold at Keeneland as a yearling for $300,000, and last year he won the Grade 1 Clark and the Grade 2 Ripple Stakes, and he's earned over $1 million. In 2014, horses raised on products from McCauley Brothers, and that includes Opportunity, won 192 stakes, 106 of them graded, 28 grade 1, and you can count Opportunity in all three categories. How they are raised on the farm is the most important factor for future success on the track, and when they're raised on McCauley products, the record speaks for itself. Call Mike Warren or David Longmire at 859-873-3333, or call Emmy Parker, as far as that goes. She'll come out and weigh your horses for you. And see the website at MacaulayBros.com. And you're always welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Sunday edition of the Racing Form. Got one right here with me now that Michael Blowen didn't carry off because he's in Florida. He usually comes in here and steals my racing form every Sunday.
They take an Eclipse Award to keep him.
Yeah, they had to give him an Eclipse Award out here just to get him out here so I could keep my racing form.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Sunday edition is on your newsstands right now. And it's got a good article by Jay Hoveday, and I think he's one of the best writers in racing right now. John Sparkman's writing on Calculator. And Joe Nevels is writing on the Kentucky January Sale. There's past performances from Aqueduct, Tampa, Gulfstream, Turfway, Oaklawn Park. And, of course, what I would suggest that you do is sign up to receive the Daily Racing Form Breeding Update. It's you get a free email connection to Daily Racing Form Breeding. Just go to drf.com/breeding update and sign up today. Once again, it's drf.com/breeding. And you can get that free breeding update. Great place to advertise.
You'll find in-depth breeding news, sales and auction coverage, and a whole lot more. And, of course, Daily Racing Form is racing's Bible. You got to have it. Daily Racing Form. All right, we're talking to Amy Parker. I want to know one thing, Amy. Was your parents in the horse business?
They were not. I inherited my love of the horse from my dad and my grandfather. They had horses together, just pleasure horses, before I was, my brother and sister and I was born. My mom used to always tell us how, when she and my dad first married, that they were paying more to board the horses than they were the rent for their apartment. So as they had more kids, my brother, sister, and I, they had to get rid of the horses. So I didn't actually grow up with horses. Okay. I just grew up loving them.
Yeah, looking over the fence.
Did you take lessons?
I did, not, you know, one couple, nothing major, but had friends who had horses and hung out with them and just loved playing with them.
Yeah.
Just love them.
That's great.
You had another question or two?
Yes. We had a partner one time, Don Bruce, who had a factory in the East Coast, and they lived in Iowa. And so that the big trucks would come rolling full from the, you know, East, carrying all his whatever sold, some industrial something. And rather than go back empty, they would load up for us.
He was from Iowa.
Beautiful Iowa hay. I mean, it was blue-green. It was smelled like you wouldn't believe, like perfume, and it was alfalfa. Mm-hmm. And we had trouble with foals with the calcium problem because
rapid growth, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah. Is this true? If you overload something like calcium, your body flushes it out and you wind up with gaps.
Well, it's really actually with alfalfa. Alfalfa is an easy example. It can be really, really high in calcium and really, really low in phosphorus. It's not just one problem. It's actually two problems.
Oh, okay.
And calcium and phosphorus are two minerals that are related. They work in conjunction to one another. And you need to keep them within a certain ratio of one another. You always want to have at least equal parts, but usually a little more calcium than phosphorus. But if you get too much calcium, you can basically ossify, so harden your joints. It can cause bone and joint problems. It's not that it causes holes or anything like that. It's just that you got an imbalance. Think of it like a set of scales, and if one side, you know, you want them equal, and if they're not,
so it'll wind up with a calcium too much and too less
too
of the other.
Too little of the phosphorus, right. And that is from the Western grown alfalfas that are irrigated. We have to watch that. That is something that's a concern.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's great. It's high in calories. That's the other thing for straight alfalfa is it can be so high in calories, it makes them grow too much.
Yeah.
You know, people think it's the protein and it's not.
And we went to Timothy, best Timothy we could find, and they said, give that alfalfa to the cows.
Well, and that's why for growing horses, pregnant mares, lactating mares, I like the alfalfa grass mix because grass typically is a little more balanced in your calcium and phosphorus, so it corrects that, the grass will pull your calories down. It makes just a perfect balance.
All right. You got it.
No, Amy, we'll have to let you go.
All right.
I've learned a lot today. Thank
you. Come back because I will.
I appreciate the invite.
Yeah, just come on in anytime.
All righty. Well, good to see you guys.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
We'll see you at the farm meeting, probably.
You bet. I'll see you this week.
Did you make
it arrange?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sign up.
Can you?
Yep. Anybody out there sign up for the farm manager's meeting? I think you can sign up through tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
We'll have to get online and do it. We used to go with Matt, who was here, and he's the bum. He's leaving town for a sale. And he always, makes the arrangements.
Yeah.
So,
anybody listening, I hope everybody comes. Those are all such good meetings, a lot of good information.
And
you don't have to be a member.
Who's against it, son?
It's Roberta Dwyer. She's talking about biosecurity on farms, so preventing disease spread and things like that from farm to farm.
That's interesting.
You don't have to be a member, as you all know, of the farm managers to come to the meetings.
Yeah.
Good.
All right. Well, it's been Amy Parker from McCauley Brothers, and I tell you what, it's a great product they put out down there.
Telling you what, if you don't start out raising them right, by the time they're one and two, it's too late. And I don't care what you feed them on the racetrack. If they don't have the first 2 years with bone and all that kind of stuff, you ain't going to win races.
It's just like building a house. If you don't get the foundation right, the rest of it's going to crumble in the long run.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Amy.
You're welcome.
Well, De Harris-sized sound horses, they get to the races. 82% of his foals have started, and that includes 2 year-olds of 2014, and they win. Over 71% of them win, and they win big. Average starter earns $60,000, and most are still competing. So if you want winning potential in your racing stable, take a good look at De Harris, and keep in mind that he sired major stakes winners in each of his first three crops to race. In 2014, he was represented by Mamduha, one of the two $100,000 stakes in New York, the Zascada and the Ruthless. And by Our Caravan, he won the $150,000 Calder Derby. De Harris, a grade one stakes winner by Sire. Sire's awesome again. He stands for $75,000. And De Harris stands at Shadwell Farm for $5,000 live full. Also standing at Shadwell, our Breeders' Cup Mile winner and millionaire Albertus Maximus. His first foals will race this year. Graded stakes winner and graded stakes place in Dama. And Hall of Famer Invisor, a proven sire of graded stakes winners. Inquiries to Stallion Manager Ken Barnes, and take a look at the website at ShadwellFarm.com.
Want to unlimited cover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations, and why a new generation is using APR Online.
Well, first crop weanlings by gemologists sold for $185,000, $125,000, $115,000, $110,000 last year. So there's no disputing the fact that he's siring good-looking foals. There's also no disputing the fact that Gemologist is a top-class racehorse and that he's got a superb pedigree. He was undefeated as a two-year-old with a score in the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes at Churchill, came back at 3 to win a Grade 1 Wood Memorial. He earned nearly $800,000. You can count Gemologist among the 12 Grade 1 winners by Hall of Fame champion sire, and emerging sire of sires, tis now. His dam produced three stakes winners, and she's by champion sire, Mr. Prospector, out of graded stakes winner, and graded producer, Sulimiv, a daughter of Northern Dancer and a grade one winner, and Blue Hen producer, Barely Even. It's a great pedigree. Gemologist has the numbers in his favor. He covered 284 mares in his first two seasons at stud, and he stands for $15,000 payable when the foal stands and nurses at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Darren Fox, Sean Tugel, or Kyle Wilson, 859-873-1717. See the website. WindstarFarm.com. All right. Well, I have my friend Steve Moody on with me today. And, boss, you got a whole bunch of stakes down there to in Gulfstream today, Steve. And what about the – which one do you like? Well, give me the one you like, the classic or the best betting race of the bunch, whichever one you want to do.
Well, let's see – we'll start with the today's the Sunshine Millions. That's what they're having down there. I got five stakes races. Let's go to the sixth race, Ursel. The first one, that'd be the that's the Sunshine Millions Turf. And I'm just looking here to see if there's any scratches. And well, wish I hadn't looked. Now they scratched my horse I liked. So. anyway, you got a field of, we did have 10 drawn. We've got the scratch of the one, St. Pierre. So we got a field of 9 going a mile and a 16th on the turf. It's 4 year-olds and up, $100,000 purse. The thing that stuck, that jumped out at me about this race, Ursula, was it was just absolutely loaded with speed. You got the horse, on the 9 horse reporting star, who's got a ton of speed. The four horse Iron Power with a bunch of speed. You've got a couple other ones that have shown speed on occasion. I don't think they have the speed of the other two, but they have shown speed before. So it just looked like that the race would really set up for something that could come from out of it. That's why I liked Saint Pierre, because of his running style, but he is scratched out of the race. So I kind of that leaves me with the 9 horse reporting star. He's the he may be the best of the speed. Javier Castellano has the mount for trainer Pat Parente. He's going to be winging it out on the front end. If he can if a Castellano can just save a little horse, might have enough left to get him home in front on that turf course down there, which tends to, you know, help speed along as much as possible if you can keep him out of a duel. So we'll just have to see how that one goes. I went for Iron Power, my second choice in there, and Manchurian High, the seven horse, the horse that can sprint or go two turns, pretty versatile. I'm going to take him now for third since the top pick is gone.
All right.
9-4-7 in the Sunshine Millions turf. Yeah.
Well, and, Steve, I'm running out of time here. Give me one more winner.
All right. Well, we'll go to the Classic, and that's the 10th race, $250,000 purse, four-year-olds and up, and no scratches, field of six. I'm going to go with a little bit of a price here, Ursel. The bottom horse, Catholic Cowboy for Nick Zito, comes off of a win. He won on opening day in the Claiming Crown. He won the Jewel Stakes, which was their big race of the day. He posted a top figure in that race. Comes right back. He's worked well since then. I'm going to give him the shot to come right back and get the job done today, coming from off the pace. Plenty of speed in this race as well. The one horse, Sir Kiskiano, and the five, Wildcat Red, come back off of a long layoff last time. He probably needed the race. I think those two are going to be out there winging it, going to set up for the six horse again. I went for East Hall second for Bill Kaplan. He came back running last time off the layoff, looks to repeat today. And then the five, Wildcat Red, got a tightener last time, figures to improve. So 6-2-5 in the Sunshine Millions Classic.
All right, listen, we're on from 9 to 11 next week, Steve. So.
All right.
Basketball game. Who's going to win, Kentucky or Alabama today?
Well, we haven't won down there in a while.
I know.
We haven't won since Billy Clyde was coaching. That ought to scare you a little bit. But I'm hoping we can get the job done. It's going to be a slugfest, though, I have a feeling.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right. Okay, Steve, thank you so much.
All right, Arthur.
It's been Steve Moody with the Gulfstream Handicapper Sheet. You can go to brisnet.com and pick it up, brisnet.com, and well worth your money. Thanks, Steve. All right, from the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association and my friend Chauncey Morris over there, here are the breeders of Kentucky Bred Stakes winners over the past weekend, and the San Pasqual, a $200,000 grade two race at Santa Anita, was won by Opportunity, and Opportunity bred by Bill Betts, DJ Stable, Dr. Chuck Kidder, John Betts, and Nancy Robinault. The Fort Lauderdale at Gulfstream Park winner, McShawish, won that, bred by O'Tiff 2007, which is Woodstock Farm. Woodstock Farm was another one raised by Macaulay Brothers. I do believe that's right. I missed that out. The Howell's Hope Stakes, grade three at Gulfstream, went to Lee. That's a first samurai. Stands over Claiborne, bred by Claiborne and Adele Dill Snyder. The Panzeretta Stakes at the Fairgrounds went to Good Deed, at Tough Mare by Broken Vow, bred by Burton Elaine Klein and Richard Klein. The Turf Dash at Tampa Bay was won by Bold Thunder, bred by Amir Group. The By the Light Stakes at Delta Downs winner, Royal Song Dancer, bred by Dale Romans. The Fifth Season Stakes yesterday at Oaklawn Park was won by Carve, as another one bred by Claiborne Farm and Adele Dill Snyder, and it's another First Samurai from Claiborne Farm. And also yesterday, the Imperial Last Stakes at Turf Paradise winner was a Maker or Breaker. It's a six-year-old mare by Empire Maker, bred by Hal J. Earnhardt. All righty. Well, let's see. What else we got over here real quick? The winners that were bred. Oh, yeah. Awesome Again stands for a fee of $75,000. Hall of Famer Go Sepper by Awesome Again stands for $60,000. Oxbow, one of the classic Preakness Stakes and a son of Awesome Again, entered stud for a fee of $17,500. Awesome Patriot, a stakes winning full brother to Oxbow by Awesome Again at a Tisnow's full sister, entered stud in 2014, and he stands for $3,500 due in a full stands of nurses. You talk about a running family, this is it. Awesome Patriot's Dam is also a full sister to Millionaire Painter, who entered stud for $25,000. Grade 1 winner Painter also happens to be sired by Awesome Again. That sure makes that $3,500 for Awesome Patriot look like a bargain, doesn't it? And speaking of looking good, Awesome Patriot was a $350,000 Keeneland sales yearly. Awesome Patriot broke his maiden the first time out at Oak Tree. Won again in impressive fashion, going a mile at Santa Anita. Placed in graded stakes at 2, came back at 3, and won the Aladar Stakes out there. His first foals are due this year, and he's eligible for Spencer's popular Breed Secure program. Bargain stud fee, $3,500. Pay due when the foal stands in nurses. Call Des Dempsey or Brian Lyle or Mark Toothacker over at Spencer Farm. Here's the number, 859-294-0030. And check out the website, SpencerFarm.com. All righty. We had some winners this month. I didn't give them to you last week for some reason. Anyway, hadn't been a whole lot of racing. All this weather's canceled out some races down at Turfway Park. Of course, they just raced on Friday and Saturday and Sunday anyway. But we have had some winners there. Tracy Young saddled a winner. Although, I'll give you the Turfway winners first. Tracy Young, Floyd Cobb, John O'Meara, owns that nice farm over here on Russell Cave Road. Tanya Balmitas, there's an old racing name there, Balmitas. Pavel Matejka, B.G. Byron Scooter Hughes, and last night, Bobby Sturgeon saddled the winner. Took daddy's pleasure down there and won a race. We had a winner yesterday also at, of all places, Sam Houston. Tommy Short said he took about 15 head of horses down to Sam Houston, and he won a race yesterday with a horse named Deliverer. And then we've had two quarter horses win down at Hialeah, both of them trained by Matt Frazier. They were all trained right here at the Thoroughbred Center. And one of them belonged to his dad, and the other one, horse named the Ocean King, won the $25,000 Signature Stakes for quarter horses down at Hialeah. There goes the old throat again. Next week now, we're on from 9 till 11, and we will be over at the old HBPA office over at over by Barn 28. Go to sign off now, and that's it.
Happy trails.